only isolated showers around. The high at 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Hey, good morning. Welcome into Friday edition of Inside the Locker Room. I'll be honest with you, Chase and Dad, it does not feel like the LSU weekend here in Tuscaloosa right now. Usually when LSU's come in town, there's buzz all over the city. Maybe it'll get there today. The weather's kind of dreary today, though. But I just don't feel the buzz, I guess, because LSU comes in 5-3 with a coaching change, but you better get buzzy, because if you don't think this is a big game, as Gene Stallings say, try losing it. Download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. Get that on your smartphone, and you can take it with you anywhere you go. You want to email us, do that, wimpandberry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. Want to build that five-star backyard, and Yellowwood would be the only choice. Go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer that is closest to you. Good morning, Chase. You good? He's good. Good morning, Dad. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Tom Hart today, I think. Tom Hart said, yep. So I assume that he's going to be on. I just took a chance a minute ago and called Tommy Tuberville on his private line. He answered. And we had a good visit, and Tommy is going to be on Tuesday at 8:15. That was our best time. Kevin's always on at 7:30. So we'll have the next governor of Alabama on our show Tuesday at 8:15, because he answered the phone, and we visited some. So those two things. And Tom Hart, of course, as Barry knows, is very, very good. And he said, yep, so I sent Barry a note saying I thought he was going to be on. You never know. Nick Dunlap, 11 under in Cabo, St. Lucas, tied for first place. Would be great if he could win that thing or finish very, very high. He needs to very badly, so he won't have to go on the other kind of tour. So we'll see if that continues for Nick. Barry and I have been telling you all along that Lane Kiffin was going to stay at Ole Miss, and he's going to stay there. He's not going to go to anywhere else, but you can take my word for it. He's going to stay at Ole Miss, just as we have said on this show. Northwestern and USC play tonight. I think the former coach who got cleared there would be a very good choice. Patty Fitzgerald would be a very good choice for somebody. He's a very good football coach and moved them along pretty well, so. We'll see what happens there. Woodrow Law, unfortunately, a great linebacker at Alabama in the 70s, age 71. Woodrow was there. I was there when he was there. I was a terrific player, and sorry about that. I want to tell you this, in case you're interested. You know, the games, Georgia, Mississippi State, start us off at 11 o'clock. But tonight, you would have a chance to see Kentucky play basketball on SEC Network Plus at 6 o'clock. Alabama tomorrow plays St. John's at 11 o'clock Fox. And so that's going on. Tennessee is on tomorrow in basketball. Arkansas at Michigan State tomorrow. Tomorrow night, I'm sure you'll be watching football, but tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on Fox, Arkansas and Michigan State will play. So Texas A&M will get to see our boy there from Samford. We'll play Oklahoma State Sunday. So check those out at 2. It'd be a 1 o'clock game on ESPN 2. So see how Bucky's doing there. So those are some good games for you to watch. I'll give my blue play at the end of the show. It's been very difficult to figure out something that I thought was interesting to people, and this is not going to be an interesting one, I don't think, but I'm going to give it away. So anyway, that's about it. I think that's good information for you. And we still have Arkansas and Auburn's trying to figure out who they're going to hire. And I don't really think Jimmy hadn't been feeling real well. I really don't think Jimmy is bigger than that. I think probably the athletic director will call Jimmy and say, we got it down to two. What do you think? Probably. And I think that's what's going to happen. But I don't know that. And he didn't tell me anything. And I didn't push it too hard. So Barry knows more than I do. And he's ready to go. And we're ready to go.
All right. Tell you what, we got a couple phone calls holding here. Get right to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, AC?
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. How's everything?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Blessed to be alive, man. Good talking to you guys again back to back. I have another coaching question. I'm going to put you guys in a tough spot only because you guys have the experience, and I like that. So my question for you guys this time is, how did you, when you guys were coaching, how did you handle the stress? I'm not going to say pressure, because when money is coming in, honestly, there's no pressure. I mean, the competition, I get it, but where's the pressure, right? I mean, you have money coming in, that's beautiful. When you don't have money, there's pressure. That's my definition of pressure. Now, how did you handle stress? How did you handle the anxiety for the preparation of the game? Because the players are looking at you. Like, what did coach have to offer today? And you have to offer, or else the players will just go in blank. They don't know what they're doing. So how did you do that in terms of recruiting? How did you handle those stress, anxiety, of course, family life, everything that goes on? How did you handle that? Because it has been, like, a lot of coaches like Doc Rivers or what's the other guy with the Clippers? Do you know that name? Tyronn Lue, I'm sorry. Like, they had heart attack or stroke, something like that due to the work stress. So my question to you is, how did you handle those stress and everything that comes with it with coaching? A lot of different emotion. Let's assume you're playing 2-hour game. Your emotion changes time to time. One time you're happy, other time you're sad. Like by minute, it changes. So how did you deal with it? And of course, the family life that comes with it. Thank you so much for taking my call.
All right, good call. Another good call. AC's firing good questions. All right, how'd you handle the stress of coaching?
Well, we first of all started to do a good job of being organized recruiting. And we tried to hopefully get better players than our opponent. And then we tried to get them to play hard. And that was assistant coaches and my job when I was head coach, my job when I was assistant coach, to really go over what we were going to do, to check their feelings, to at times talk with a couple of players about how the team felt about things. And I just handled it the best I could. I didn't probably, when I got the job, there wasn't a whole lot of people that wanted me to have it. And I did have a lot of stress trying to meet their expectations. And that was what wasn't a lot of fun. But, we were able to meet it. So I think it's hard, but I also think it's enjoyable when you see your team play hard and win. So I put the team ahead of everything else and tried to zero in on what we need to do to win. So I don't know that I handled it probably as well as I meant to ask Barry a minute ago what he thought about his scrimmage yesterday, and forgot it. But I probably didn't handle it as well as some people do.
You know, being an assistant, there's stress there when you're at the college level and your program's not doing good, because when you get fired there, you're not getting the humongous buyout. Even the guy that's getting the humongous buyout, he's got a ton of stress as well. But, you got to figure out, hey, how many years do I have on my contract? Guys didn't have multi-year contracts. In South Carolina, when we were let go, I think our athletic director paid us assistance until May, And then from June, July, and August, he said, I'll tell you what, I'll keep paying y'all, but I'm going to pay you half your salary. That part's a little bit stressful. But when I hear people talk about Hugh Freeze and these guys, oh, man, they got it made. I'd give anything to have a job and get fired. No, you wouldn't. You don't understand when you say that. These guys have a lot of pride. They got money, yeah, but money is not everything. It doesn't. You see a lot of people with a lot of money that are miserable. You had a guy for Dallas Cowboys just committed suicide yesterday or 2 days ago. So the stress of it, and if these guys are competitive, and when you don't win and you're going through the stress of all that, your family's going through all that stress, I don't care how much money you get when you walk away, it's still difficult. I heard Jeff Spiegel, and I don't think he meant anything by it, talking about Gary. You standing there on the white playing golf, you're on the par three, and you're looking out, does life get any better than this? And he was saying that's how Hugh Freeze feels right now. Bull crap. He does not feel that way. And you look at all these guys that got a pile of money, Pat Fitzgerald, Jimbo Fisher, the guy who's the interim coach now at Arkansas. They were all fired. They all have plenty of money. They don't have to coach, but they all want to get back into it because it's just that they enjoy the competition. They enjoy the relationship with the coaches and the players and those things. And you feel I'm sure as a head coach, Dad, you feel responsible for all the guys that work for you and your players that you recruited. And you went in there and you sold them on a dream. And so you want to make sure that you're successful for those guys, you know. So there is a lot of stress. I don't care if you get millions when you get fired. Yeah, you don't have money stress, but you have a ton. And people
you have family stress.
Yeah. People think that you got it made, like Hugh Freeze has it made today. He does not. He probably feels like he failed at Auburn, and nobody wants to lose at anything that they do. It's just and everything you do is so public. So a good question from AC there. All right, we'll take the break here. 2 minute truck. They're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you and all of your stuff. Give them a call today, 205-247-5050. That is 2 men in a truck, movers who care.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. It looks like we've got some trouble on Skyland Boulevard. Eastbound lanes at Hargrove. Watch out for this accident. Now it's got a good little jumble up there at the intersection. And traffic otherwise on 2059. You're not doing too shabby at all. From McFarland to Joe Malisham, it is wide open. Also moving on 69 here up
throughout your day with just one pill. Aleve lasts up to 12 hours. Don't let those aches and pains hold you back from doing what's important to you. Use as directed.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Occasionally cloudy today. The chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight. The high today 75, the low tonight 59. Mild again tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with only isolated showers around. The high at 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama Crimson Tide lives right here. Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to In Inside the Locker Room, pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Tonight at 8 o'clock, Tulane plays Memphis, Dad. And I think if Tulane gets drilled by Memphis, it's going to be hard to hire the Tulane coach. I know. Y'all laughed at me. Huh?
I don't believe they will.
Well, if they don't, then that's fine. But
I think Tulane wins the game, a couple of touchdowns.
Against Memphis?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that should be your blue claim because Memphis is favored by 4.5.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not my blue claim, but
well, it should be if you think Tulane's going to blow them out by 2 touchdowns and just bet the money line. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Phillip?
Good morning, my friends. How y'all doing?
We're good, man. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, it's the economy, Barry. That's why you're not seeing that buzz. People are not going over there as early as they used to go, and they're waiting. It's a night game, so most people within 2.5-3 hours probably going to leave tomorrow morning, and it'll get ramped up then. But that's probably why you're not feeling that excitement right now. They're not in town yet.
Yeah. Well, it's not.
They're waiting.
Not a ton of talk about it either.
We're overconfident. Our people are overconfident.
Sorry to blue play.
Yeah.
Were you going to take LSU or Alabama if you would have blue played it?
I was going to give the 9 or 10, whatever it was. The reason I didn't was I've been so bad. You know, everybody blames it on whatever you blame it on, you know, that stuff. So I just left it alone. But I think Alabama's going to be
there. You should take LSU in the 9 and you won't win. Everybody be happy.
No, I think Alabama, I'm like Phillip, I'm overconfident. I think they'll beat him two touchdowns.
No, well, he's, Phillip's not overconfident.
Oh, I know. That's Phillip worries about the game. I don't worry about this one. I'm not coaching the game, but I think Alabama beat
him. Phillip had him 8-4 to begin the season.
I did.
I know.
That was a little jab there, Phillip. Just kidding. Hey, they still could lose to two of the next four.
Let me tell you, I mean, it could. I feel good. I Alabama has been really playing pretty good. You know, they've had one complete game, and that was the Louisiana Monroe game, because I didn't felt like they had a complete game against Wisconsin. I left that game sort of like, the Wendy's commercial, Where's the Beef? It just sort of fizzled. But, you know, they've had some good halves now. But they've not had a complete game.
Well, I'll tell you what,
they've been very fortunate.
Yes. They've gotten some timely turnovers.
Yeah, sure.
Timely.
The fumble by South Carolina. When Alabama's down, nobody ever talks about it. It's huge.
Mm-mm. Two fumbles by Vandy, and everybody said, "Well, yeah, you got to give Alabama credit for getting those." You do, but Kirby not taking 3 points—that was dumb. So these games have all been close. Now, give Alabama credit; they've won all the close games, but. If they didn't have little Ty Simpson back there, this season could be a lot different. So
I think also because of the win, the kids are enjoying playing for him.
Mm. I think that Van Buren kid's going to play a good bit tomorrow night for LSU. The quarterback.
Yeah. You think?
I do. I think he's going to play a good bit tomorrow night.
It'll be a
10-2
touchdown win.
Uh oh.
What now?
He's saying Alabama's going to win.
It'll be 10 points or more win for Alabama.
Uh oh.
Well, I'm going to say this, Barry, about your father. He's uncanny on that sort of stuff.
What do you mean he hadn't picked a blue plate this decade?
He's something else to me. He knows a lot about that Auburn situation.
Yeah, I'm old. I'm older than dirt. But I think Alabama wins. I just do.
He picked Georgia, and that guy fell at the 1-yard line.
I will say this to you. LSU will come in ready to play.
Yeah.
You're right there. Because they got mashed mentally. And I think Coach did a better job than people won't give him credit for. And they hired a minority AD, and I think that's a mistake. Not knocking that, but that's okay. I think they'll come in.
What does being a minority have to do with it?
I don't think that LSU wants minority head football coach.
They don't have a minority head football coach.
What?
They don't have a minority. You said minority head football.
I don't think they would want one. He's on a selection committee. No, there's not one available, I don't think.
Well, this Auburn thing is interesting. I mean, every day you'll see where it's going to be Dillingham. It's going to be Sumrall. It's going to be, so-and-so. I just don't know. I think a lot. I believe in those smoke screens, and I think some of that is smoke screen. I still think there's some guys out there that are going to get in this thing that right now are not in it.
What's going on?
Dabo being one, and Barry, I know last week I got you excited when I mentioned Dan Lanning. But money's money. I know he works out in Oregon and Phil Knight and Nike and blah, blah, blah. But I still think he could end up being a player.
But why? Why, if you're Dan Lanning, would you leave Oregon?
Well, you know, I think there's just a possibility he could be a player in this.
But why would you leave that job with Nike and all that money? You have to fight all these SEC teams. The kids love gear. You got gear. You got recruited. You got the Nike money behind you recruiting. Why would you leave Oregon?
Well, I think he might want to be in the SEC.
I think Arizona and Tulane's coaches, they're waiting to see if they go through undefeated. As Barry stated, and Memphis beats them, it hurt Tulane. Sumrall, because he coached at Troy, to me he must be a good football coach. But I think those two schools, the two people right there, they're waiting to see how they finish up. If Tulane falls on their face against Memphis, I think it hurts some, as Barry's mentioned. And Arizona State is kind of a no name for us. For Auburn, right. Kind of going in hiring a no name, and I don't think that's real good either. I don't know.
I mean, Arizona State's his alma mater. Why would you leave your alma mater to go to a place that has fired three coaches in 5 years?
Good point.
I mean, I just don't know why you would do that. Why you're at where you went to school? You took it to the playoff. You're out in that great weather in Arizona. I don't know why. I mean, he might do.
Who would you select to go there, Barry?
Probably the guy from Penn State. If I could get him, I don't know if I could get him. Can you get him? James Franklin.
You talking about to Auburn?
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that yesterday, Barry. That's kind of interesting. That's sort of.
I think he's confident. I think he.
Yeah, it'd be a good name, Barry.
I think he would not be scared of Alabama. You know, and I think he's a good recruiter. He's a good communicator. Now, hey, he doesn't win big games. I get it. But
well, I hope Tom Hart's on. Let Tom will know. I hope we're still getting Tom Hart on. I think we are.
Yeah, I just don't see. If I'm Dan Lanning, I'm not leaving all that Nike money to go down there to Auburn.
No, not to, I don't think that. I was thinking Florida more or less for him.
Yeah.
But Wim, let me ask you before we break up. How will Alabama approach this game tomorrow afternoon in New York City? Will they? I assume they are. Did they go to New York City last night? Do you think?
No.
No.
I don't know.
They're going today.
Today.
Yeah. Well, I only say that because two of the assistant coaches' kids play for me, and they were at my scrimmage last night. So,
gotcha. Yeah. How will they approach that? I guess that's an early morning flight today up there. They'll get there probably here in a little bit, I would think. They'll go out to have a nice meal and all that type stuff, and business, and they'll come back right after the game, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will. They've got a morning game, not morning, but this morning game. And they'll get up at a decent hour, 6-7 o'clock, eat the pregame meal. And they've already been working on that game prior to getting to New York, so they kind of know what they're going to do. So,
Barry, isn't MSG kind of a dark atmosphere?
Yeah, when you go in, like with your team, you got to take an elevator up to the playing surface is. And so it's
not what you think.
No, it's not what you think. When you hear like the Madison Square Garden and think, it's kind of old, but you go in there, you take an elevator up to your floor and you get off. When the circus is going, they got all the circus animals on another floor. It smells like you know what in that place. So I don't know if they got the circus going on, but anyway, thank you, Philip.
Good talking to y'all. See you.
Being honest. Thomas Rib Shack, go to thomasribshack.com. Get your soul food fix. Eat at Thomas Rib Shack for barbecue, local soul food, the best in Tuscaloosa. You looking for a catered meal, maybe for tomorrow. You want to entertain all the people that are coming in. You don't want that Cajun food. Let's get them some barbecue. 2931 15th Street. Go to thomasribshack.com. Give them a call, 205-759-5010. Tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. You'll be the life of the party tomorrow eating all that barbecue. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. It looks like we've got some trouble on Skyland Boulevard. Eastbound lanes at Hargrove. Watch out for this accident. Now it's got a good little jumble up there at the intersection. And traffic otherwise on 2059. You're not doing too shabby at all from McFarland to Joe Malisham. It is wide open. Also moving on 69 here up north.
Your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Pressure treated pie from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. I just call this guy the voice of the SEC. Football,
yeah, he's the best.
Basketball, he's the best. And baseball. Tom Hart. We do. Tom, I got a new Starbucks right by my house. I drive by it every morning and I get the coffee. What's one of them fancy drinks you get that maybe I could act like I really knew what I was doing when I go through that line next time?
You can't
time?
Afford them, Barry.
I know, just once a week, maybe.
Barry,
what's a fancy
Barry, I'm gonna blow your mind. I'm going to blow everybody's mind. Right. I bought a new coffee maker that can make my foamy drink with milk foam at home.
You're saving money.
I am saving so much money, but the first time I showed back up to my Starbucks after being a no-show for about 2 weeks, and it was like they'd seen a ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, where have you been? Don't you know we have bills to pay?
I said, that guy that never tips is back.
But I'm leaving Barry a little bit of money, but I ain't leaving him that much.
Yeah, I don't go every day. I just get the coffee though. But it's still, you get a venti pike and a large ice water. The ice water is free. They got great cups on the ice water, by the way. But it's $3.50 for that. So
you have to ask for a venti ice water.
Yeah, I get that. Those cups are great, aren't they?
They're great cups.
All right, go ahead, Dan.
He'll leave you the cash. Maybe he'll leave me the plaid jacket.
There you go.
You've already got one. Tell our listeners and tell Barry and I who you're doing tomorrow.
Tomorrow I've got Florida at Kentucky. And then on the basketball side, I'll be in Tuscaloosa Thursday for the Purdue game.
Woo!
And I've already had Purdue once. I had them in their exhibition at Kentucky a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure that they're the number one team in the country, but I don't know that there's many teams much better than them.
Well, I may be there with my grandson, so be sure and recognize my grandson, will you?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. In fact, he can call the second half if he wants. Get me on the road.
Well, they moved Chris and Brian up in the stands. They don't even get to sit on the court anymore, Tom. They're up real high now. So
I'll see you Thursday then. I'll try to see you in person Thursday.
That'd be great. Anyway. I'd love that.
Tell our listeners, I know we should talk football as far as who's going to win, who's going to beat who. I think the Mississippi State-Georgia game is an interesting game. Have you got any inside poop on who's going to be the coach at Auburn?
No. And what I've learned over the years is that these searches don't make any sense, and they're totally unpredictable.
Okay.
And I think it's even more so because of the high number of high-profile jobs that are open at the same time. And even that being said, when the last, like, crazy cycle we had was when all of this happened, when Kelly ended up at LSU and Lincoln Riley left Oklahoma for USC. And that was even before the calendar was what it was from a scheduling standpoint and portal recruiting and all that. I would just say this. If I were one of these schools who's trying to hire the best man out there for the job, I'm not trying to save money. I'm trying to hire the best man. And that might mean that he is not available until late January because he's trying to win a national championship. I wait because this, you know, it might be a 5-year hire. It might be a 10-year hire. It might be a 15-year hire. But I'm not really that worried about the immediacy of it. I just want to make sure we get it right. I guess what I'm saying is don't settle for somebody who's available when the better guy is still coaching in the playoffs. It might put
would
you behind.
Would you go assistant coach's route?
If you think that's the best guy, like if you're, you know,
defensive coordinator at Georgia.
Yeah, if Auburn thinks the best candidate is the defensive coordinator at Georgia or the offensive coordinator at Oregon, who's high on a lot of guys' lists, then by all means, go for it. What I'm saying is don't hire somebody just because they're available because their team's not playing in
But Tom, can't you behind the scenes through your agent figure out, all right, we'll wait if we're sure to get him. We can't let him start making his decisions after. Like, we have to know we're getting him. You can't wait and then not get him.
Yeah, but you could if, let's say, LSU was the only job open. But that agent could say, yeah, he's going to leave school A, but that doesn't mean he's not going to end up at Penn State or Florida or, you know, pit you guys against them in the second week of January and then drive the money up even higher. So I don't know that that's entirely possible. I would think that some of those conversations work, but I don't think they're foolproof.
Will Lane Kiffin be coaching Ole Miss next year? Dad and I say yes.
Oh, interesting. I think Lane is very unpredictable. I think he's the best coach that's willing to move right now. I mean, like, for example, I think Dan Lanning is one of the best coaches in college football, but he's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. I think Kirby is one of the best coaches in college football. He's not going anywhere. So anyway, Lane would be the best guy, so to speak, on the market, but got his family all around him and living with him in the same neighborhood.
He ain't going nowhere.
That's important. And he has certainly matured over the last 5 or 6 years. So I think that part, I would venture to guess that, and nobody knows what truly motivates him, but I would venture to guess that he's made enough money and he's recruited really well and he's got to decide, can I win a national title at Ole Miss? Because that seems to be, to me, to be, while family maybe is North Star right now, his ultimate goal is to leave a legacy of a championship. And, you know, that hadn't been done at Ole Miss, right?
I mean, he's got a tough game this week. He's got Citadel.
Do these agents, they play games, Tom. James Franklin, they act like, ooh, he's close to going to Virginia Tech. And then Arkansas says, no, we want him. Well, we got to pay more than Virginia Tech. And then they get Virginia Tech where he's just about to go there. And then he has the other guys negotiating behind the scenes. Is James Franklin, I mean, is he, would that be a big hire for somebody if it's Arkansas or Virginia Tech or Auburn?
Yeah.
Auburn?
Yeah, I think he would be a great hire at any of those schools. I think Arkansas would be lucky to have him. Virginia Tech would do backflips to have him. I mean, where has his failure been over the course of his run at Penn State? His failure has been top five opponents. Top five. Maybe top 10. He's failed to win the biggest game of his season. But other than that, he still wins 9, 10, 11 games. We don't think Arkansas or Virginia Tech would want to win. Oh, heck, Auburn. You don't want to win 10 games a year? Now, if you lose to Bama 5 years in a row, yeah, you're going to have some heat on you. And I understand that. And I understand the value of that rivalry. But the fact of the matter is James Franklin took over a situation at Penn State that wasn't as bad as when Bill O'Brien took it over, but it was still less than ideal. And he built them into a perennial top 10 team. I don't know many, many programs out there that wouldn't sign up for being a top 10 team on a regular
basis. But is Indiana going to beat Penn State more than 14?
No. But then again, Georgia's going to keep coming back in the fourth quarter and eke out wins. I mean, the funny thing about college football and how we judge these teams when they get that committee gets into a room is they've got this binder full of analytics. And all of the analytics are the same in their eyes, which is ridiculous, right? I mean, let's put it in a basketball perspective. Like, you know, we know what Nate Oates values. Nate Oates values threes attempted and two-point percentage, right? Just as two examples, or at-the-rim percentage. I'm not saying Nate doesn't think we should be a good free-throw shooting team, but that's lower on the list of what he thinks drives a winner. Well, these people all value the same, and they very rarely – then when they get deeper into the numbers, and I love analytics and I think they tell a great story, but this is a small sample size sport where you have 12 regular season games. That's it, 12. There's as many regular season games as there are apostles, right? That's not a whole lot. So why don't we value the fact that Miami beat Notre Dame head-to-head? Like, why don't we value the actual wins? And so I'll rip Indiana with the next of them and the strength of schedule and this, that, and the other. But it's hard to not lose the game. And so we should, at the end of the day, not worry about who's got the best recruiting class or whose third down efficiency was top five in the country. Did you win the game or not? That's the answer.
When Nick Saban was hired, Alabama was desperate. And he got a $4 million salary with no buyout. Everybody's like, oh my gosh. That figure's so small now. In 5 years, what will a top five or six quarterback be worth in college?
Well, I look at that two ways. I look at, for example, what just off the top of my head, some of the top portal quarterbacks were paid and where they failed. Jackson Arnold lost his starting job. Zach Calzada at Kentucky lost his starting job. And then who were the guys who took over for him and what is their pay? Meaning, what has that done to the market? You know, from an NFL perspective, you learned you could pay Brock Purdy, you know, less than an SEC defensive end, and, you know, you could be a playoff team. Diego Pavia last year was making, I mean, he's probably the lowest paid, one of the lowest paid quarterbacks in the SEC. He was worth every single penny. Anyway, what I'm getting at is, as much as the big time quarterbacks demand the money, somebody soon is going to go the way the Oakland A's and the Tampa Bay Rays, and they're going to say, hold on a second. That's a crapshoot. I'm not going to spend all that money on a quarterback. I'm going to spread this out and disperse it throughout the rest of my roster, or we're just going to have a lower payroll because it's impossible to predict. Think about the NFL. In the NFL, they spend 365 days a year with an army of scouts to try to figure out who's going to be our first-round pick. Are we going to take a quarterback? Are we going to invest in this guy? And because we're going to give him $100 million. And they get it wrong. So, it's really hard to expect college coaches to get it right when they have a lot less film, the kids are younger, less predictable, even though they're making $2, $4, $5 million.
Yeah, I disagree. I disagree. And this is why.
You think the money's going to keep going up?
Well, this is why. Brock Purdy got there. Yeah, he's good. So he's under contract, so his new contract doesn't come up until whatever, and he's making crazy money. In college, you have a great year. You're a free agent that year. You go right to the portal, and you've already proven yourself. And so, what are you worth? You think Hugh Freeze wishes he'd have bought a better quarterback, and so. I think because you can be a free agent. Now, if you had to stay 2 or 3 years, yeah, but you can go right to the portal because you're a free agent every year. So if Brock Purdy could go to be a free agent after he had that great year when he had 3 years left on his contract, what would people have paid for him? But he couldn't, right?
But the problem is the market is being driven not by Brock Purdy's who establish themselves and say, hey, I'm better than what I'm getting paid. The market is being established by guys like Jackson Arnold, who lost his starting job at Oklahoma and still got paid whatever the number is, 2.5, 2.8.
Yeah, that was a bad investment, yeah.
That's the problem. Zach Calzada lost his job at Texas A&M, ended up at Incarnate Word. Kentucky still gave him whatever they gave him. There's no problem with guys who have established themselves, say Diego Pavia, then getting paid based off of a great year. The problem is guys who are getting paid on their high school recruiting rankings, even though they didn't produce after a year, two, or in Calzada's, and I don't want to rip the kid, but Calzada's place, 4 years of college.
Yeah, but he was always bad. He was always bad.
It comes down to both of you for evaluation. Look at Ole Miss. They evaluated the right quarterback.
Yeah, but if Ty Simpson went in the portal after this year and said, you know what, Alabama's great, but they're just, what would he be worth?
More than Arch Manning.
Yeah, what's he getting?
A lot. Okay. That's what problem. Like we hear numbers and we guess about numbers and we throw numbers around, but you know, if I wanted to tell you what the Dodgers are making per man, I could pull up the website and I could click through the spreadsheet and I can tell you exactly what everybody's contract looks like. I can tell you what the Braves contracts look like. I can tell you what Patrick Mahomes is making. That doesn't exist in this world. And, you know, I don't know if we deserve that transparency, but it would go a long way to tamping down the market because then the decision makers would be basing their decisions on facts as opposed to rumors and innuendo. And that's another problem, I think, in this situation.
Yeah. How good is Alabama? They have been they can't run the ball. They have, and give them credit, Kirby chooses not to kick the field goal to tie the game. South Carolina fumbles that ball in that last possession they get. Diego Pavia turns it over twice in the red zone. I mean, there's been these games of – they've been very fortunate to make critical plays at critical times. They get the 2-point conversion at South Carolina. Give Ryan Grubb credit there. He had them ready. But They're tinkering on losing some games here. You got LSU, and then you got Oklahoma, and then you got to finish up at Auburn. Are they a great team, good team? Where do they rank in your mind across the country?
You didn't like Cindy Crawford because she had a mole, right? Am I right?
I didn't say I didn't like them.
There are some deeply flawed teams in college football. I think it's a bit – I haven't done a deep dive on this, so this is just a theory based on my incomplete knowledge. But I am not worried about Alabama not being a great running team because I don't think Kalen DeBoer's offenses historically have been built on the run game. You know, that is a pass-first offense. And as long as you've got Ty Simpson back there making the right decision – and guys making plays, I'm not as concerned about that. And they find other ways to quote unquote run the ball in terms of, you know, the horizontal passing game and getting it to the perimeter and this, that, and the other. Kind of like I said earlier about Indiana, I don't want to be, you know, have my head in the clouds about it and say there aren't some concerns here and there. But with the strength of schedule that everybody's facing and as good as the SEC is as a whole, just winning games is what matters. And I think that builds on it. You know, I think I told you guys this. I was there right after the Florida State game. And there was a period where that program, and I think this is like from the coaches' offices down, was a little shell-shocked after Florida State. And I think they're shell-shocked for two reasons. Number one, obviously they didn't play well. And number two, the reaction from the fan base surprised them. And that week, Kalen DeBoer circled the wagons and he said, it's about the guys in this building. Like, don't worry about what people are saying or posting. Or they've proven that they're not behind you come thick or thin. And you need to look at the guys in this locker room and know that we're all in this together. And I know that sounds a little bit corny, but I think that message got across immediately. And to keep a team together in this day and age requires great coaching and motivation. Look what happened, you know, when Penn State lost its second game and then they just went straight downhill. And that's going to continue to happen. My guess is LSU's look what happened second half LSU A&M, and they probably got another one of those coming before the season is over. Maybe Saturday night. I'd be fascinated to see if LSU shows up motivated to play four quarters of football Saturday night, or if they get behind. You know, they may show up as competitors and have a great first quarter or first half, but then if they get punched in the mouth, knowing that there's changes coming and they're not going to, they may not be teammates next year. Certainly coaching staff won't be there. Will they be able to finish that game in the fourth quarter? And I would, not to rip them, but I'd be doubtful that they have the personality to accomplish that where Alabama does.
All right. We got four schools, Florida, Arkansas, LSU, and Auburn, available. You've been around the SEC a long time. Money-wise, winning-wise, what's the best job of those four?
Well, to me, into the weeds on the money is not who's got the money. It's who can you get to spend the money.
Arkansas's got money.
Are they going to hire the guy who's going to motivate the money havers
Walmart.
To be money spenders?
Yeah, Walmart.
Calipari. Guy like Calipari.
Are they happy to Walmart?
Yeah, those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got, in Northwest Arkansas, you've got every part of the retail situation. You got the guys who farm the chicken, the guys who ship the chicken, and the guys who sell the chicken in the Walmart aisles. That's a pretty good triumvirate right there. But if they're heavily invested in basketball more so than football, can you, as a motivating head coach or program, but to me it's on the head coach, can you motivate them to invest in your program? And I don't think, I mean, this was going a few years back, but the previous staff couldn't do it. And it was a very hard sell to try and get to that point. Maybe times have changed. I mean, the LSU people, they're willing to write that check right off the bat. And there's a lot of them, and they know the value of it. And they know that three of the last four head coaches there have won a national championship. Can you deal with, you know, a goofy governor? Well, as long as he doesn't have his way and it doesn't impact the contract you're going to get, absolutely. That guy's, you know, his office is 3 miles away, but, you know, you've got enough buffer between the stadium and the governor's mansion to, I think, keep him at arm's length.
All right, lastly.
But for me, it's LSU.
Lastly, Dad doesn't agree with this, but tonight, Memphis and Tulane play. Let's say Auburn thinks, man, that's John Sumrall's our guy. He fits everything we need. And Tulane loses tonight 49-3. Does that change things? I mean, that's what I'm saying. They one game. Well, this guy's coaching for his job. So everything he's done comes down to this one game. So would that hurt him if he gets blown out tonight by Memphis?
I think the danger in that scenario in this day and age is we used to talk about winning the press conference, right?
Yeah.
And you get a guy that comes in hot, it's easy to win the press conference, and everybody looks good, and the athletic director looks good, and the boosters are patting each other in the back. To me, you can take that same frame of mind and apply it to, are we going to get the money we need? So, as long as the big money people are on board with John Sumrall as a hire, and the tone, tenor, and mood of the Jimmys and Joes who pay $50 to come to a game and sit in the upper deck doesn't matter as much in this day and age. And I hate to say that, but the truth of the matter is, yes, you get revenue by selling 88,000 tickets every Saturday at Jordan-Hare, and it's an incredible atmosphere, and they do it really well. But to build a roster, you need that guy selling lumber to keep writing big old checks. And so you need those type of people to stay happy. And so if that result that you're talking about impacts the big money people, not the people who give $10 a month, but the ones with a bunch of commas, then yeah, that's a problem. But if it doesn't, and they're realistic about it, and they say, hey, listen, you know, like, it's hard to win at a place like Tulane when the rumors start swirling about your coach leaving for that next job, and you're wondering, is he going to take me with him to the SEC? I've always dreamed of playing there. Can you still perform? I think that's what happened in their loss a couple of weeks ago. I think it's really hard to keep a team motivated like that.
Yeah. All right. You're going to have a team in the playoff.
I appreciate
you. You have a team in the playoff that lost to UAB. About this system.
Well, that's right. We appreciate you being on Northern Illinois.
True.
All right. We appreciate
Thanks,
you
coach.
Being
appreciate
on.
Appreciate it.
Hey, right, you're on a big show because Tuesday we got the governor of Alabama, Tommy Tuberville.
That's big time.
There you go.
It's big time.
All right,
have the
Tom.
Next senator on.
Enjoy Lexington.
All right. See you,
fellas. See you, buddy. All right. Yellow wood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Dan Beyer.
The Denver Broncos are now winners of their last seven. It wasn't pretty Thursday night, but they topped the Raiders in an AFC West showdown 10-7 in the Mile High City. For the Broncos, their seven-game win streak is the longest in a decade. Last night's game, pretty odd. First time since 1976 that both teams had more accepted penalties than first downs. 11 penalties for both teams, just 10 first downs for each team. Broncos are 8-2. Raiders are 2-7. Geno Smith was sacked 6 times last night, and the Raiders quarterback suffered a quad injury in the game, according to head coach Pete Carroll. Former NFL receiver Antonio Brown has been extradited from Dubai to the United States on attempted murder charges stemming from an alleged incident in May, according to the Miami.
Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tide 100.9 Traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving a little slower now on 43 southbound onto McFarland Boulevard. And there's a stoplight delay. It's had to slow back to Smith Street. And as far as Northport is concerned, the usual slow roll on 69 southbound onto Union Chapel Road. Traffic on 25th.
Can do for you. Contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127. North River Timber, CO at gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Occasionally cloudy today, the chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight. The high today 75, the low tonight 59. Mild again tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with only isolated showers around. The high at 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room, Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. Look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. You can schedule a service. Swing by Skyland Boulevard, find Justin. You got so many cars on the lot, as he told us on Wednesday. They are ready to make you a deal. And tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, we get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. The former ACA Patriot went to Ole Miss, Shelton State, finished up at the University of Alabama. David Kinder with Bryant Bank. Good morning, David. How are you, buddy?
Hey, David. Good morning, Barry. Good morning, Coach. Good to be on this morning. Enjoy listening to Tom Hart.
Your dad, did you remember last week David said was trying to get you to pick Georgia Tech? Said Georgia Tech was a lock. He didn't understand that line, and I had to nudge David over the weekend saying that when it looks like there's why is that there?
Don't bet it.
So David got humbled. But we're going to get him to pick a game again today. I know he probably doesn't have one, but just like Doug Bell gets back on the horse and Jason and you, and we're going to make David get back on the horse as well.
They ain't got them chandeliers out there at Vegas because they lose money.
Yeah. All right, David, help me with this. That play at the plate for the World Series. I mean, I guess Major League Baseball did not want, I think you said this, and I think you're right. I didn't want it to end. I was like, please have his foot on the plate. But as I looked at it, you know, real fast, David, his foot was off the plate. But they only looked at it for like, I don't know, 15 seconds and ruled on it. So I think you're right. I just don't think they wanted the World Series to end that way. It ended up costing Toronto the World Series, in my opinion. How'd you see that play?
Yeah, what a pivotal point. I mean, obviously that would have been the winning run in the World Series of Game 7. And just to break that down before that happened, I'm going to break what you just said down too. I've seen some coaches and some breakdowns of that play of the runner for the Blue Jays at third base. And I think you're taught as a runner, as wherever the third baseman is, how far away the third baseman is away from the bag, that's kind of how much lead that you should be getting, obviously. And that runner from third base probably was only two steps off. And when you're reading those type of plays, I mean, you're anticipating your momentum when the pitch is going towards the plate is going towards home plate and then making a read and reaction. It just seemed like the runner for the Blue Jays was kind of wasn't anticipating ground ball. And those one or two steps, as you just talked about, that slide was so bang, bang. It was a wonderful play for Rojas. It was a really tough play. I was really surprised he was able to get to it, make a strong throw, and Blue Jays runner slides in just at split second, calls out on the field. And I think you could have – obviously that play in real time could have gone either way, but I feel like either way that the umpire called that, realistically, it was not going to be overturned. And umpire called out, and then, yes, you could see Will Smith, the catcher for the Dodgers. You saw him come off the bat or off the plate, but, you know, it was debatable if he came back in time, but the call on the field stood as out, and it was not going to, in my opinion, no way that they were going to, in the World Series, Game 7, just overturn it and then let the other team go ballistic. I just did not see that happen in any form or fashion. But
is that right? Is that right?
No, it's not right. I think that, again, it's just like in football, basketball, and baseball. It's whatever the call is on the field, unless it's absolutely unbelievably wrong, it's going to stay that way. And I saw it like you did. I thought he came off the bat when the catcher's foot somewhat came off of home plate, and then he came back. I felt like the Blue Jays, I felt like he was in there. He had got there. The other thing you got to think about with bang bang play at home plate is it's not like a raised bag. Home plate into the ground. I know you're thinking you're crazy, but yes, it's one of those. If the bag had been there, if it was a bag versus home plate, I think that call would have gone in Blue Jays' way. But I mean, the foot has to be on home plate too. But I mean, I'm breaking this down at that point. But yeah, it was at the end of the day, it was an unbelievable World Series, and I think it's other things that we can talk about in this that broke this game down to get to that point for the Dodgers to win Game 7.
Well, I mean, Dad hit the nail on the head. Under all the pressure, what a play by that second baseman to stop that ground ball and make that throw with all the pressure on you. One of the great plays in baseball, right?
Saved it, and then think about I think you and I talked about it. Y'all always ask me about, you know, what does baseball managerials ever do in the game? I mean, Dave Roberts put on a clinic if you were paying attention. I mean, it's not only that second baseman, Miguel Rojas, he put him as a starter in Game 6 and Game 7. He was kind of platoon in and out, defensive replacement, and you saw Rojas tied the game up in the ninth with a home run in the ninth spot. And then make that play, and then the Dodgers saved the game again in the ninth, where they inserted a defensive replacement in Páez in center field, and Páez ran down the ball in the gap. And I promise you, that left fielder was not catching that ball. That ball falls, game over, Blue Jays win.
Yep, Dad.
Well, I guess we asked you about what influence the manager had. I think he gets along with the players. And I think he knows his team well. Does he manage them always perfectly? Probably not, but I think too many managers get fired when the players themselves don't do the job.
Absolutely. Right. I think, I think what's going for Coach Roberts is, Dave Roberts for the Dodgers is, not only is he been with the Dodgers consistently with some big names in the game, but he's been able to handle and keep those big names for the most part happy and all playing together. As y'all all know, that just because you have all the best players and stars doesn't mean you're going to have the best team sometimes. And he's been able to keep that dynamic there, and also been able to – he's been in the playoffs in the World Series almost, each and every other year for the Dodgers, and there's something to be said about the experience. About obviously you have baseball experience that he's got, but being in the World Series as a former player and doing it a long time sitting in the dugout. So I kind of feel like it was one of those things where the Blue Jays had all that momentum, and just Coach Dave Roberts, he just was able to pull the right strings and put the right guys in, and those guys just paid off. And those one few plays here and there made the you could see it in Game 7 where those small things, it all added up, and they won it.
We're talking with David Kendrick. David, what took the Braves so long to hire Walt Weiss? If that's who you're going to hire, did they go through and couldn't find who they wanted? He was an assistant with the Braves for several years, and that's where they landed. Were you surprised with that?
Well, to be honest with you, I kind of feel like that was a conservative, comfortable choice for the Braves. I'm not saying it was a bad one. I mean, like you said, Walt Weiss has been a longtime bench coach for the Braves, and I think I will listen to an interview with Chipper Jones, and he was gloating on Walt Weiss and says he's got the locker room. He's known these guys. He's a player. You know, he's played the game. He's been scrappy. I mean, Walt Weiss was a very good defensive player for the Rockies and the Braves for a very long time and had to always fight for his position in the major leagues. But to answer your question, I think that I got to believe that the Braves were holding out on time to possibly get one of these coaches that was going deep into the playoffs. Now, I didn't know exactly which one, but I got to believe that they were trying to hold out as much time. But for whatever reason, didn't come to an agreement. And I think that they felt really good that they could at least slot in Walt Weiss. Again, not going to be much change, but that is it. The pros are a little bit different where, you know, maybe the ownership, management, operations want to have more control, or maybe they felt that they knew they had a good rapport with Walt Weiss and let's don't change too much. But man, I felt like the Giants will do something completely different and outside the box and hiring a very successful college coach from Tennessee and Tony Vitello. Braves keep it very conservative and a former major league lifer. So we'll see how it plays out. To me, it just seemed very a conservative hire, an easy hire, assuming they were not trying to go after somebody, some managerial going late in the playoffs.
All right. Make your pick, man. What's your blue plate? What's David's blue plate for blue this? Plate.
Well, let me make sure I set it straight. I did say if I was wrong last week, I would treat y'all to a meet and three, a blue plate, an actual blue plate special. So that still holds on the table for y'all. Yeah. I'm a man of my word. There I'm gonna make it very clear. But yes, I appreciate you giving me another shot. It's just like baseball. I got to keep coming back. I'm not afraid to step up to the plate. I may strike out, but I'm going to keep swinging. So here's what I got here. You got Georgia, number 5 Georgia, going on the road to Mississippi State, Davis Wade Stadium. That game starts at 11 o'clock. Line is, I believe, Georgia 9.5. Is it not?
It is. 9.5.
Hey, I do believe this. I think Mississippi State, they've been snake bitten. They played so well in so many games, and I think Coach Lebby's doing a phenomenal job with what he's got over there. And I think that the dogs of Mississippi State, the Cowbell, can keep it close to cover that line. I think Georgia can still pull it out, but they find a way to win in the fourth quarter, but it's going to be something under 10 points, in my personal opinion. So give me Mississippi State with the points, 9.5.
If I had a cowbell, I'd ring it, but I don't.
Are you with me on that?
Sort of.
I heard your dad. I heard Coach.
I think he may take. I think he may take Georgia. He may take Georgia.
No, I'm not taking.
Snake bit your dad.
That guy. I mean, he's going in. Can you imagine? And he just falls on the 1 yard line. Like, I don't understand what these guys. That Oklahoma guy did it too. They're going to go up 10. It's not like they got a 10 point play in football. And that if they would have fumbled that ball going in, Oklahoma, I don't know. All right, forget all that. Put all that aside. Let's tell them about Bryant Bank, all the great things you guys got going.
Well, again, thank y'all for the partnership. And at Bryant Bank, we really do hang our hat on developing relationships and being consistent with our customers. That's both personally and business-wise. I mean, there's all sorts of times that, you know, you want a bank to not only help you protect your money and grow what you got in the future, but so many different times you coming through scenarios where you're at an issue or a problem or something that you need capital. And that's where we as bankers come in, and we're not just product solutions. We're talking through scenarios and help in coaching on the personal side and with businesses. So please give us a shot. I promise you, You know, our doors open, we're available, and bankers here locally. Again, headquartered in Tuscaloosa. Give us a shout. Check us out, bryantbank.com. Call me. Again, David Kindred here in Tuscaloosa. We'd love to help you out. And Coach Barry, thank y'all again for having us.
All right. Hope you hit that Mississippi State. We'll be watching. Thank you, David.
All right. All right, thank you, guys.
David. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll get back. We'll see if we can round up Coach Sonny Smith. Do you think Coach knows that Hugh Freeze has been fired?
I think it's close. he's not sure. The Gummers have not told him yet.
Oh, yeah. All right. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Very good morning to you on this TGIF. It is Friday light with the exception of your pretty typical delays. 43 southbound onto McFarland. Also looking at McFarland eastbound moving on to Main Avenue. Now that is a little heavier with the stop and go.
Get to Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa before your friends do. On select models with approved credit while supplies last. Stock number L2395. Taxes and fees extra. See dealer for details.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports and it's brought to you by the Good Feet Store. Start your journey today at goodfeet.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. As we get ready for Alabama football against LSU on Saturday, here are some final thoughts from the head coach of the Crimson Tide, Kalen DeBoer.
It's the most important game of the year for a lot of reasons, but mainly because it's the next one. And our guys have done a great job putting themselves in a spot where every game matters. And, you know, they continue to work hard, keep getting better every single day. And we're going to have a big one on Saturday. So we know it's going to be a tough test. And we're going to have to bring our best for four quarters to win another SEC game. So excited about the challenge. I know our guys are as well.
I'll have more in a moment.
This is Christian Miller for the Good Feet Store. I know from playing football at Alabama and in the NFL that if you have foot, knee, hip, or back pain, it can be a huge challenge. The Good Feet Store is designed to personally fit you with arch supports that alleviate and even eliminate your pain altogether. Try them before you buy them. They're in your free, no obligation, personalized fitting, and you can wear them home the same day. So if you're looking to improve your game, the Good Feet Store has you covered. Stop in for a free, personalized fitting today. Roll to victory at goodfeet.com. That's goodfeet.com. Roll Tide.
We've got you covered for Alabama football on Saturday against LSU. Our radio airtime across the network is 3:30 p.m. Central, leading up to kickoff at 6:30 p.m. A reminder that at 3:30, our pregame coverage begins outside Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium, on stage at the Bud Light backyard, inside Vector Security, Champions Lane. You can listen on our full radio network, the Varsity Network app, as well as watch the booth cam presented by Regions Bank on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by the Good Feet Store. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Occasionally cloudy today, the chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight. The high today 75, the low tonight 59. Mild again tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with only isolated showers around. The high at 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Just tore my world apart.
tough right there. All right, we'll get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's the NABC District 6 Coach of the Year, Ohio Valley Coach of the Year, two-time SEC Coach of the Year, CAA Coach of the Year. Is there any league he didn't coach in? Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. His name swings in the rafters at Neville Arena, Chase. You just talked to a legend, Coach Sonny Smith. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Wow, that's a great introduction. Could you do that again? I want to make sure I record it.
Yeah, there we go. NAB. No.
He carried it too far.
Jealousy.
Yes, he did.
Jealousy.
Yes, he did it too far.
All true. Everything I said was true.
Yes, it is. Yes, you've always been my favorite. Who's that other voice?
The truth has never been wrong, Coach. Just remember that.
Truth. Yeah. That's truth.
Yeah,
truth will set you free. I ain't got out of jail yet, though. Huh?
Why didn't you say? Tell him about him? Why didn't he say something about you making all that whiskey and putting it in your mama's bed?
I do not tell the secrets of my hometown. My family was outstanding people in the community of Round Mountain.
That was a town that, on the back of the welcome sounds, come again.
That's exactly right, boy. But if you just needed a little nip of Jack Daniels type liquor, we had it. Ours was made by somebody other than Jack Daniels.
Well, have the Gummers told you anything about Auburn football?
We still got it, I think. I hadn't heard from anybody. I think they're going to play. What have you heard that I need to know?
Damn, Barry.
Do you know that Hugh Freeze is no longer the coach?
I'm a dog. I like that guy.
Did you Gummers help pay his buyout?
I don't know. See, I since I've been kind of under the weather, I don't get the newspaper. I don't get anything. So tell me, what did Hugh Freeze do?
Hugh Freeze lost to Kentucky 10-3.
What he didn't do.
It's what he didn't do.
I didn't ask you about what he didn't do. I don't know what he did do.
He signed bad quarterbacks.
Who's calling? Where's this show coming from?
Yeah, and so he is playing golf now. He's not getting ready for Vanderbilt. DJ Durkin is. They gave Hugh Freeze his walking papers.
Yeah. So, would you guys consider Auburn as a good job, SEC job?
That
no. As long as Alabama's so good, Alabama's in the forefront there. Alabama's better. Job.
Alabama's better.
Job. Well, Auburn's a good job. Let me say this: Auburn people support their team better than anybody in the league. If they're mediocre, sometimes. I mean, they got.
You mind? Just a minute. Tell him a little louder. I'm recording this. I'm gonna put it out.
Yeah.
All over Auburn, the world can hear it.
Auburn people do show up for the games. I'll say that for them.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm thinking of it. Your basketball team won a game last night.
Who'd they beat?
I don't know.
Merrimack or something. Somebody you and Deb would schedule. I never even heard of them.
Merrimack.
Well, if you've never heard of them, I would schedule them.
Well, you play Mary the first game, Mac the second.
It's like playing. Yeah.
Yeah, we're ready for Mac. He shoots too much. We can handle him.
What do you think about Stephen Pearl? You think he's he got to grow into the job. The first game against Bethune-Cookman, they fouled a half-court three-point shooter. They had to beat him in overtime. That's probably a tough act to follow, Bruce Pearl, being your daddy. I mean, you got to try, obviously, yes. But just your thoughts about Stephen Pearl taking over the job there.
Well, Stephen, if you go to practices, which I've been doing for years, Stephen does a lot of the practice. He also sets up the scout team, you know, and runs the other team's plays. He's excellent. He appears to me, from what I see going to practice, to be a good basketball mind. Knows what he's doing, and he's not a real talker, you know, really get after him, that type of thing. But he's a good teacher, and I think he's going to do very well. And he's got a lot of help on his side, though.
Yeah, that.
Can he recruit?
He got hired. You as a recruiter.
I would say that he's been doing a good part of the recruiting for Bruce, because Bruce didn't go out all that much, but he did get out there, so I'd say he probably is a good recruiter.
Well, he's got Wofford. He's got Wofford next, and then he may want to get sick for this next game because they play Houston with Kelvin Sampson. Ooh. So
Where are they going to play at Houston?
Auburn.
Oh, well, I know the coach of Houston. Yeah. He's going to get whooped again.
You think? That's right. Auburn went to Houston and won.
Yes, they did.
I think I was
a coach.
Oh, Kelvin Sampson.
He's a good man. Very good man.
Yeah,
we used to have Wimp knows this. I'm sure he remembers. He doesn't remember much, but he remembers this. We used to have these coaches get together and have meetings and talk about the different offenses and defenses, and he was always one of them, and Wimp should know that. And he's really an outstanding guy. Dale Harris was a big promoter of him, helping him get into college, and he did a great job once he got there.
Actually, let's see, am I right about that? They play in Houston?
Yeah, they are.
And no, it's not. He told you wrong, Coach. The game's
who
in
is it?
Birmingham. It is Houston,
in
but
Birmingham.
It's in Legacy in Arena, not at Neville Arena, where your
it's
name's.
It's in Birmingham. Assistant called me last night.
Oh, Bobby Champagne?
Yeah.
There you go.
Called you?
Bobby, he called me. He's from Florence, and I'm, you know.
What did he want to do, borrow some money?
No, he said they had a pretty good team. They still hadn't got them quite where they wanted them yet, but they're pretty good.
Yeah.
So, Auburn have a hard time scoring.
He's a good defensive coach, you think?
Kelvin Sampson?
Yeah. He really is.
They'll guard him hard. Yeah.
We had this coaching group that met every year, and he was one of them, and he knows what he's doing. He's not outspoken, but you ask him a question, and he can put the basketball mind on you. He really got a good one. I think he's going to do well. And he also can recruit. He can definitely do that.
Yeah. Alabama tomorrow, Coach, basketball. They go to Madison Square Garden, and they play St. John's. Coached by the one and only Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino's got 9 lives. The fact that he's still in coaching is actually amazing to me. But what's difficult about going against a Rick Pitino team?
Shoot your scheduler. Whoever scheduled that game, just shoot him.
Yeah, exactly. Shoot your scheduler. Shoot him twice in case he.
Lord, he might overcome that first one.
How difficult is Rick Pitino to play against?
Well, I didn't do it but one time, and I can't remember who won. Evidently, he must have, or I'd remember. But I think he's a great coach.
Yeah.
I think he knows what he's doing. And he's done it in so many different places, situations up east, in the south. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He really does.
Yeah.
And he can recruit because he hires people that can really get that job done. Now, I don't know who he's got going for him right now, but I guarantee he will have good players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you were in kit crew now and changing tires, would you do anything any different?
Well, the only thing I would do is wear gloves. I used to do it bare hand, you know, and that's really hard on a guy. Yeah, barehanded. I used to do it that way because I was so tough. I was a country boy. I grew up hard and do a lot of things with my hands and had to fight a little bit. You know, I was tough. You've got to be that to be a NASCAR man. You wouldn't know anything about that, Wim.
No, I wouldn't know. And what else? How many seconds did it take y'all to change four tires? Did you have to change all four?
I think our quickest was 19 seconds. So,
seconds?
Yeah, and I'll tell you how they do it.
We have to unscrew the lug wrenches. They
do. Change four tires in 19 seconds. They did that. And they also, you've got to feed water through the window to the driver, and that was my job.
You did.
That's my tires. Job.
Wait a
minute.
Water to the driver.
I wish I would have known that about a month or two ago. I was in Starkville watching Jack play baseball, and Jim called me and said, "Dad's done blown out a tire on 59 headed to Birmingham." If I'd have known you were, I'd have had him call you. You could have told him exactly how to change it.
Yes, I would have.
I'd still be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would. You'd be selling something or trying to steal something.
Well, you kept bragging on our show about changing the tires. All you was doing is giving the driver water.
Well, it was more important. And then one of those races, you got to be hydrated. So I was a hydrated man. You've never been a hydrated man, but by the way,
you didn't wear gloves. No wonder you didn't wear gloves, did you, Jack?
If you would have gave him one of your cups, the guy would have gotten a DUI.
Well, who's calling?
You ain't touched it. You ain't touched the tire.
Oh man, I got to be good at it. I learned a lot. When you're changing tires for Dale Earnhardt, you better be good.
Yeah, he'll fire you if you're not good.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Well,
I know a place where you buy three tires and get one free.
My goodness.
Coach, I hate to tell you this. Last Saturday, Dad, his blue plate's not doing well. I don't know if you ever experienced when he wasn't doing well. He gets all down. He picked Georgia. It was like right at the end of the game, the Georgia quarterback is running in for the touchdown, and he's going to cover, and the guy kneels on the 1 yard line. Do you think he used some profanity there? He did not win again. So, do you think any profanity came out of his mouth when that guy hit the knee?
I've never heard anything but.
So. You got a game for him this week? Auburn's it.
Why would a guy do that, Sonny?
What?
He had money on it.
Let Barry explain it to you.
The guy's running in for a touchdown, and he just takes a knee right the one in because they don't want to score the touchdown and then have the other team score quick and then kick an onside kick, so they just don't take the touchdown. They don't take the touchdown and run the clock out, and it cost him his blue plate special.
Yeah, they got no team don't have any timeouts.
Cost him the game.
Wimp has always been terrific at those sites.
Yeah.
All you got to do to him and just tell him who's playing because he never does know. But you can you just tell him who's playing, and he'll give you his blue plate special. Well, I'm going to tell you what he did do.
What did he do?
I took him to a race.
Oh,
we were in the suite of the guy. We were in the suite of the guy that owned the track.
Really? I never heard this. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So, hey, how many times have I told it on this show? It's 110.
No, you never told it before. No, you never told it.
He changed the channel of the golf channel. You've never told that.
Yeah, I never told. Well, I'm going to tell you the real thing then. But now, since you, I'm on a show with a bunch of smart aleks. I ain't telling.
I ain't telling it. And
I ain't telling.
He took some food. Did he take some food out there to the go box?
Oh, did he? I swore I'd never take him to another one.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I'll tell you one thing, Barry. I got a good parking place. I put
yes, you did.
I parked where it says no parking here, and I parked right there.
And he put something in his windshield by who he was. And
yes.
Yeah.
So. If he'd have put who he was, they'd have stole the car.
They'd have broke the window.
Sonny says, we gonna park here? I said, yeah, what's wrong with it? The place is open. Well, we're not supposed to do this.
The guy that owned the truck was his parking place.
Yeah, he probably pulled a cone out of the back of his car and put it there.
When he tried to change the TV to the golf channel, that's the worst thing he's ever done. I still think about that. It makes me so mad.
He claims that when y'all would go out to dinner and there would be 50 to 100 people waiting out there, that y'all would just walk around all of them and go in, and you and my mom were so embarrassed. But he says y'all always followed him. So I don't
that's
know.
Exactly right. He'd be lying all the way out in the parking lot.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He'd be walking in and saying, I hate we're doing this.
I hate we're doing this. I can't wait to eat my salad. Yeah. So, anyway. Coach,
I don't know why we have you on. You're not very good on this show.
No, he's the best. He's coach of the year. I can't believe you weren't a Pac-12 coach of the year. Well, I guess you didn't coach in that league.
Pac-12? He ain't been no Pac-12.
Big East.
Well, I don't take jobs in leagues where they cheat.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be in the Big 12 because I don't like cheating.
You don't like cheating.
What'd he say? Yeah. Listen, growl. He'll growl for the next 30 minutes.
You ain't cheating, all right. You go to Pat Dye and you say, Pat, I need you to go down and see so and so. I've done all I can do. But you go down there with a bucket full. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, and we had a kid that was in class. He says, what do I want to do? I can't pass this class. And coach would say, it's better to cheat than repeat. So just cheat. There you go. Coach, have a great weekend.
So I was going to have one. Y'all have insulted me so much. I won't be all right until about 12
o'clock. Go see the Gummers. Y'all there you go.
Thank you, coach.
Thank you.
All right, well, we already talked about Bryant Banks. We'll go to break, and the vinegar tip for the day is coming, brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. We also got the Blue Plate Special brought to you by Hardin Construction. We look forward to hearing both of those when we get back from break. Everybody's on pins and needles, Chase. My phone's been blowing up wanting to know when you're going to pick the blue plate so they could go to the bank and shove it all in against it. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
So I brought these pretty flowers, hoping you would understand.
Tide 100.9, traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Traffic's been a pretty free flow for most of the morning. We've had a few problems that came and went. Now, if you're traveling on 15th Street, it is not doing too shabby at all. Between McFarland and Lurleen Wallace, you're just on and off the brakes very briefly. And McFarland speaking.
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Stay up to date with the Crimson Tide.
Local high school sports and Bama in the pros right here.
On Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Poor Michael. 205-752-8500. Sponsoring this vinegar tip for this Friday. What do we got?
Well, I try to do a good job for Barry because I'm giving him all my meat. And he's the cooker in the family. And I don't know how to cook. And I don't get to eat much of it. But I've been giving him a bunch of meat. And he's waiting for it.
But if you want to be sure that you kill the bacteria on the meat, then you need to have a vinegar wash for the meat, and including also the poultry. In case you got poultry, you got to clean it off. And then you got to rub vinegar on the cut end of an uncooked ham. Why do you have to do that? To prevent mold. If you get mold on an uncooked ham, you're a dead goose. So I'll be giving some more Monday about this meat. I got two or three other ones I get to care about meat. But he needs to rub some vinegar on it to make it good. I'm giving him a pile of meat. He won't have to buy any meat for days. That's all.
All right. Chase, I'm going to send you this song if I can get it. What's your last name, Chase? Brumfield? All right, Chase, I sent you the song. Pull that song up, and after we get through with Tom, you're going to play that song before he picks his blue plate space. We're getting rid of the gambler. The gambler's Kenny Rogers. Just that song I just sent you, that's the one you get to find. It'll bring back the days of when we used to have a guest. All right, what's up, Tom?
Well, Tom asked me to ask him a question on the show yesterday, and I asked him a question after our show. Did you hear it, Tom?
I did. You nailed it.
Thank you.
And thanks to me, because
he didn't remember what to ask.
You did a good job of interpreting my question.
Thank you, Tom. Wait, you just said something positive about me? Wow.
No, it was me. He was bragging.
But he said I did a good job. If Tom says I did a good job, I'm taking it.
He was bragging on
me. Right.
Okay, brag on both of us.
Now, I did that too.
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna fill y'all in on something you need to listen.
Okay.
The last year that Coach DeBoer was at Washington, they averaged 118 yards rushing on the ground per game. You know what Alabama's average is this year?
14.
100. I don't know. Probably right there. What is it?
118.
No.
And I thought about this when Tom was on talking about it, the offense being a pass first. Listen to this one. They played at USC in the championship game, that conference championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
They ran the ball for 347 yards in that game. So if you come up here and say, you know what, we're going to shut down that pass game, we're not going to allow that. They ran it down their throat. Y'all have a good week.
Hey, Justice Haynes has rushed for 857 yards this year, Tom.
And they're not in the playoffs.
Thank you, Tom. All right, Chase, play my new song. Kick it up.
Here comes the money. Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Chase was bumping back there. This is going to change the blue plate special right here, that song. Here comes the money. You guys have been waiting. God, have you been waiting. And it's coming this week. What we got?
I've been going with SEC a lot. Everybody likes that. I ain't going with it.
Ooh.
I've been going with teams everybody keeps up with. Pretty good.
You're going off the market.
No, I'm not going off the market, but I'm going to win this time. And ain't going to be no cotton picking song.
What league is it so I can pull it up?
I don't know what league it's in.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know what league it's in.
All right.
But there's two different. There's an interleague game. My blue plate special is. The blue plate special is. The blue blue plate special that y'all have been waiting for, and you're writing down is, you're going to win. Take SMU and give Boston College 10.5 points.
Let me double check that. Let me double check that line.
Oh crap! Here we go.
What'd you say? How much?
10.5, I think.
Take SMU, it's 11.5 what I see here. We'll give you the 10.5. Take SMU minus the 10.5.
10.5.
Game's on the road. It's on the road at Boston College. Yeah. Boston College is 1-8.
Yeah.
0-5, Chase. So that's
I'm going to be a champion.
Yeah, well, I got 11.5, but whatever. We'll give you whatever you want. Whatever. And that's brought to you by Harden Construction. Tough to say. When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa beyond for over 30 years. Hard Construction.
I think Bear
kind of liked that pick. Hey, it's not bad. It's your partner in industrial fabrication, steel work, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too small. 205-759-1337. They will be closed. They will be closed today for Brian's funeral. Man, what a great family! And
tough.
All right, kick that music back up there. We'll take it out with that music.
Here we go, money talk.
Here comes the money.
So, late, get take your SMU if you want to make the money. Or take Boston College. Are you going with him or against him, Chase?
Going with the coach.
You with him. All right. That song's got a little more upbeat. We'll see. All right. That's it. That's this week's show. I don't remember who Doug picked. David picked Mississippi State. Chase, you got to like that. He picked the Bulldogs to cover that 9.5 against Georgia. Should be a fun weekend. There you go. All right. Jason's telling me it's 11.5. I don't know. The line's 11.5. It is 11.5. But I don't know where he gets his lines from. He was a Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Smelling fresh and looking spiffy. Don't like clean money, I want my wrist to be filthy. Pops with that retirement fund, I can't judge till I'm 60. So what am I supposed to do? Roll it through. Set it, patting them pockets, sell them.
Thank you for listening to Inside.